muss ich Kaisha, Kaisha in the 7th Vayera. We have a very famous Kaisha of Tshuva, which is obviously very appropriate to this time. And as we mentioned last week, so Ezra HaSofer was mistaken that Kisavah has to come out before Rosh Hashanah. So obviously that means Kisavah is going to come out before Rosh Hashanah. So while we're in the season of Tshuva, so it's very appropriate that we see that the Torah says, what the Torah says about Tshuva. Pasuk says, "Vayaki yavor alecha kol adayim ha'ira, habracha lakol Hashem etat levanecha." That should go to levanecha. You should return to your heart before adayim asher yidecha Hashem alkecha shama. V'shavta ad Hashem alkecha v'shamati mekaleh. You should return to Hashem and listen to His voice. Kechol Hashem alchem tavcha yore, and I commend you, tavnecha, etc., etc. And that's because Hashem will bring us back to Israel, etc. Even if we are scattered amongst the nations, Hashem will circumcise our hearts and the hearts of our children to love Hashem, So I want to explain this topic as the Vav Chavetz Vav Zarech. I want to ask a question. Now the Nesiv Shon asked this question. Hashem is basically giving us a bris over here. Hashem is giving us a covenant, and Hashem is saying, if you will return, if you will do tshuva, if you will sincerely serve me, then I will, whatever this means, quote unquote, circumcise your heart and the hearts of your children. But we know the Torah is eternal, and we know that the Torah is meant for all generations. So why does Hashem have to say, oh, and I'll take care of your kids too? But when my kids grow up, so my kids will also have the same deal, that Hashem is going to circumcise their hearts. Hey, what's going on here with, what's the eslevav darecha? What does that mean? Before I answer that question, I want to share with you a story. There's a story about the Kutzkevedi. Kutzkevedi was known for his sharp adherence to truth in the most starkest of terms, and he would not stand for anything fake or anything shallow. It had to be complete emes. So they say that when the Kutzker Rebbe was a child already, so I think, I'm not sure if it was that he was drawn to Hasidus or to his own particular type of Hasidus approach of Avodas Hashem, and his father was against his approach. His father, he was not, I don't know, maybe he was 9, 10 years old. And his father was telling him, you can't go the way that you want to go. You have to go my way. His father might have been, I think, may have been a litvak, a litvashayov, and he didn't want his son becoming chassidish. So the little chassidish was Menachem Mendel, so he said, but this is the way of a little chassidish that I want to take. And his father said, you have to listen to me. It says in the Pasuk that this is the God of my father, and I will exalt him. So the Kutzker Rebbe answered back to him, yeah, but first it says in the Pasuk that Keli Ve'Aneihu. It is my God, and I will praise him. So that's where the story goes. So I don't know if he's like, I don't think he said that, but he seems to say, like, okay. What that story encapsulates is as follows. The idea that a father may have a certain picture, a certain vision for the way he wants his child to be, but ultimately the child grows up and the child becomes his own person. And even parents, and all parents have to respect that. Now, the Rebbe of my show actually spoke about this last week, when in the close it talks about how parents will eat their children, because that the starvation will be so bad that they'll have to manage to eat their children. And the keynote on Tisha B'Av actually talk about this. That's such a depraved situation. But the way you point out, how could that possibly happen? How could any parent come to do that? Because they see that child as belonging to them. It's my property, that child. So therefore, I can do with it what I want. I can eat it if I want. I can smack it around if I want. I can tell it what to do, and I expect it to listen to me, because it's my property, that child. And it's not true. It's not true. Because the Gemara, and then many sources that teach us that ultimately a child is a pikadon, a deposit.
There's a gem that is entrusted to a child, to a parent, to raise and to take care of and to cherish and to nurture. And then the child grows up, and the parent who's a shomer, the parent who's a guard, ultimately has to let that child move on in his way. We have two aspects in the way that we are. There are two components to our personality. We have things that make us who we are because we have chosen them, and we have things that make us who we are because they're part of our nature, and they're part of the way that we've been genetically programmed, and things that we've received from our parents, whether consciously or subconsciously. Everybody's familiar with the nature versus nurture chakira amongst the scientists. So when it comes to tshuva, when it comes to v'shachar Hashem Elokecha, return to Hashem, and we have to ask ourselves, again, that nature versus nurture question. When it comes to nurture, when we've nurtured ourselves, when we've made certain choices in life, so obviously every single Jew has a job that they have to try to improve themselves. And if I made a wrong choice, if I did something wrong, if maybe I went to not such a nice night activity one night, if maybe I decided I wasn't going to do a certain mitzvah, maybe I decided to sleep late and not go to davening. Not that that happened yet. But that if maybe, yeah, I made a wrong choice, right? So maybe I made a wrong choice. So then I am responsible for my choices and I have to fix those. That is my job. But what about the things that are not really my, they weren't my choice. I am who I am because this is the way I was raised. You know, I was raised in a family, let's say, where everybody yells at each other. People, like, it's not that we don't love each other, we love each other, but everybody yells. Like, we just express ourselves, like, with a lot of anger, and if something wrongs, we react. And that's just a culture in that family. Or let's say, you know, I was brought up in a very greedy society. So I'm greedy because you know, that's just the way, like, I don't know, my friends and my culture, that's the way it is. So I have these traits, I have these midos, that's who make me who I am, but it's not my fault. It's because of the nature. It's because that's been pre-programmed into me, again, whether either genetically or culturally. So that's who I am. So how am I supposed to change that? How am I supposed to overcome that? So Hashem says, the Shabbat Hashem says, whatever you do your part to return to me, then don't worry, Hashem will circumcise your heart, meaning to say, he'll cut off the covering of your heart and allow it to be open. Your heart and the heart of your child, of your child within you, of what you were taught as a child, or how you were brought up as a child, that maybe taught you these negative midos, these negative things. And I was thinking, and Sushan doesn't say this, but I was thinking maybe we could tie it in. You know, Chazal learned out of here, they say, Es levavcha v'es levav darecha, as Rosh Hashanah Elul. Es levavcha v'es levav darecha, as Rosh Hashanah Elul. But the other Rosh Hashanah Elul we all know is, Ani v'dodi v'dodi li, right? I am for Hashem, Hashem is for me. So the idea is, if we take the first half, the Aleph Lamed, of Ani v'dodi, what I have to do for God, that's Es levavcha, my heart, whatever my decision, yeah, that's Ani v'dodi. That's what I have to do for God. I have to make right decisions for Hashem. V'es levav darecha, and my childhood heart, the heart that I am who I am because of the way I grew up. So that's v'dodi li. That's Hashem's going to help me. If I do my part to try to get closer to Hashem, Hashem will do his part to help me come close to Hashem, to overcome those things which are seemingly insurmountable because they're simply pre-programmed into my mind. Elul and Yom Ha'Avodah is a time, really, and this is a very hard thing, to call into question who we are. It's a time to do such an introspection, such a reflection into our very being, that we have to raise that question of nature versus nurture and say, you know what, either one needs a tikkun. Either one needs to be fixed up. This is a hard thing to say. And I'm a little bit even nervous to have this recorded and go public, but it's okay. Because I believe it's endless. Each and every single one of you, this year, part of your job is to call into question the way your parents raised you. ask, not necessarily call them up and ask them, hey, how come we did this? Not chutzpah get Japan. But to ask yourself, is the lifestyle that I am leading the lifestyle that I really believe in that I want to live? Am I living the way I think God wants me to live? You have to ask yourself that question. I truly believe, the 90% of the time, you'll say, yeah. But I think actually what you'll come out with is by going through that process of cheshbon nefesh, of accounting of your soul, and saying, and I, do I keep Shabbos the way I want to keep Shabbos? The way I think Hashem really wants me to keep Shabbos? Do I live through Torah as part of my life the way I think it's really supposed to be? When we really ask ourselves those questions, I think it will come out with 90% of the same values as your parents. But what? But just like every parent wants their child to have more than what he had, and every child in some way wants to be more successful than their parents. Just like if my dad makes $100,000 a year, I want to make $150,000 or $200,000 a year. I want a bigger house than how I grew up. Right? Isn't that capitalist society? So just like I want more than what my parents did, so I want more luxury than maybe what I had growing up also. I hope, I pray that my son is a bigger Talmid Chacham than I am. I aspire to that day. I hope it's true. And I'm saying it a little bit in an extreme way, but I don't mean it in an extreme way, but I believe that each and every single one of you this year, as part of the Tshuva process, is intended to think to yourself, when I grew up, so okay, maybe this wasn't such a priority, that wasn't such a priority, it's like we were talking about before, we have certain, notions that we get from our society, that like, oh, this halakha, that's just for black hatters. Or this halakha, that's just for, people who, are really religious, whatever. But, not for me. So the question is, you have to call that into question. You have to say, is that true? Is it a chumrah? Is it something that I'm not obligated to do? Is it something people who want to be strict are strict about? Or is it, no, is it something that I really should consider? Maybe it's something in halakha that is really an obligation. And if it's really an obligation, so why am I not doing it? And maybe I have to decide the will of all inside of me to change and to take it on. I remember when I was Shana Aleph, Purim time, so my leader and I were getting ready to go to the Megillah reading, and I was wearing a suit and tie, as we were both, at least one of my roommates. The other one was a little more, whatever, chilled out, so he was wearing a shirt, nice pants, whatever. And the guy walks into our room, and he says to me, what are you doing? Why are you wearing Shabbos clothes? But actually, I learned it's a halakha in Shulchan Aruch that you're supposed to wear Shabbos clothes to the Megillah reading. Out of covers from the Megillah. So halakha in Shulchan Aruch. He's like, I never did that before. I said, you never wore tzitzis before. Booyah, right? So he was like, okay, you got me, Meaning, say, this is the time to reflect, to call into question, to say, am I living the way I feel like I'm really supposed to be living? And again, it does not necessarily require extreme changes. Wearing a tie for a Megillah reading is not an extreme change. And it doesn't mean we have to change our lifestyle to start wearing white shirts or to put on hats or anything like that. It does not mean that at all. It means in my heart, am I changing my heart to be reoriented so that I am focused on Hashem? That's what it says. Just one more voice. One more word to finish off. The Gemara in the second Rosh Hashanah tells us, and Tazayim and Aleph, that the world is judged on four occasions. It's judged on Pesach for grain, it's judged on Shavuot for fruits of the tree, it's judged on Rosh Hashanah for people, and for all of creation, and some judges all of creation on Rosh Hashanah, and it's judged on Sukkot for water. And the Gemara brings that advice that was teaching, that on Pesach there's a special carbon that they brought the only carbon on Pesach. Why? Because Hashem wants to bless us with grain, so therefore we bring him a carbon of grain. On Shavuot, Hashem wants to bless the fruit, so therefore we bring him a carbon of fruit. Hashem wants to bless us with rain, with water. On Sukkot, so therefore we have a special Nisuch HaMayim. We give him a carbon of water. What happens on Rosh Hashanah? Hashem wants to bless us with a good year. Hashem is judging us. So Hashem says, you know what you do for me on Rosh Hashanah? You know what you're supposed to bring me on Rosh Hashanah? Malchus, Echonus, and Shofar. Malchus, diving through Malchus. Why can you tell me who do I listen? What do I want you to say to Hashem? I just want you to recognize me as king. As we talked about last week, Hashem is asking us to recognize him as a king. Zichronus, Kedesha, Yahweh, Zichronichem, Lefana, Yatova. So that I can remember you for the good. And the now, with what? With a shofar. With a shofar. Okay, very nice. So we're saying Malchus, Zichronus, Shofar. But it doesn't fit in the Bryce, so we're supposed to be giving Hashem a carbon. We're supposed to be giving Hashem something. Like we're giving water and fruits and grain. So what are we giving Hashem a shofar? I think the key is Bamed, that shofar. We're giving him the blow of the shofar. What's the blow of the shofar?
Crying.
Yeah. How do we blow the shofar? With a breath. A neshima. A neshima is a breath. What's the source of the word neshima? Neshama. The idea is that on Rosh Hashanah, Kamzem Naran, Elo, the whole idea is how do we declare Hashem as the king? We say, Hashem, you have my neshama. But in my heart of hearts, it's for you. So as we enter this, we get into the Slichot season. It's important to keep in mind that Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Slichot, Tshuva, it's not all about, you know, fire and brimstone. It's not all about that. It's not that we have to be scared that say that Hashem is going to punish us. We do have to be a little scared about that. But it's more about recognizing that Hashem created us for a purpose. Hashem created us to give ourselves back to Him. And if we are able to do that, if we are able to give Him our hearts, then Hashem in turn will give us back the heart that we are intended to have. And then Hashem will be zochet to a good year.